fine ornamental fountains, decorative lampposts, manhole covers and even postboxes. Examples of Scottish ironwork can be seen on every street corner. Well, listener David Wilson from Carluke believes he's descended from one of the founders of Lanarkshire's first ironworks at Wilsontown. Reporter Denise Glass met David at the site of the old ironworks to find out more.
Both my parents come from the nearby village of Forth. In fact, they were actually married in the church here in Wilsontown. And since I can remember, I've been brought up with the story that I'm descended from one of the three brothers who was involved in setting up the Wilsontown Ironworks. Having researched into my family history, I've been unable to make that link. I've got back to around 1817, 1818 with a Wilson of my family, but I've been unable to make the link between those Wilsons and the three Wilson brothers. And so I thought I would contact the programme and see if you could help me make that final link.
We're standing here on a railway line, and we've got the best view across the site of where the Wilsontown Ironworks used to stand. Although it's hard to imagine it now because there's basically nothing here but grass, the moose and some trees in the distance. But what we could have seen from here a couple of hundred years ago would have been this incredible industrial site that would have sprung up from nowhere. And a thriving village of 2,000 people, lots of chimneys belching out smoke and fire, lots of people busy working away, horses and carts everywhere, railways, people working down mines, lots of industry happening and people busy working here. I'm Emma Stewart and I'm a community ranger with Forestry Commission Scotland. Wilsontown Ironworks was in fact the first ironworks in the whole of Lanarkshire, and anyone who knows a little bit of the history, industrial history in particular of Lanarkshire, will know that the place really relied on iron and steel manufacture right the way through to the 20th century. There was no ironworks here before, so they needed skilled workers. Those skilled workers came in from all over the UK. They weren't the locals. The locals were employed in basic tasks such as maybe carting the material around and working in the mines, but in the forge, the rolling mill, the blast furnace, it was people from outside of Lanarkshire. So that brought in a whole new bloodline, if you like, to the area, brand new surnames, and it mixed up the whole community in this part of the world.
So tell me about the three brothers then who started this ironworks.
I think the three brothers are absolutely incredible. I've got a lot of respect and admiration for them. You had Robert, who was the eldest, the middle brother John, and the youngest brother William. William was a great sportsman, so he came back to visit Robert for a wee holiday back to the family estate, and they went out shooting on the moors. And it's that shooting walk on the hills that basically led to the ironworks, because he found a bit of ironstone in one of the burns. You've got to hand it to them, they really invested heavily in this ironworks. They really did try to make it work. Maybe they overinvested, kind of with hindsight looking back at it now. They were speculating on the market picking up for what they were making, but unfortunately the market didn't pick up. Plus there was differences of opinion between the brothers as to how it should be managed as a business. So you had Robert booted out after only sort of a few years from the partnership, so you were left with John and William, and then eventually William was booted out as well, and then eventually John took over with his sons, and then after it went bust it was bought by William Dixon.
And all these years later you've got a huge heritage project and family history project going on here.
It's really exciting, because if you imagine you had a village of with 2,000 people here, and there was a very high turnover, people might only stay for a wee short while, a few months or a couple of years. That leaves this huge legacy of thousands and thousands of people who, if they look back in their family history, have got someone who lived and worked at Wilsontown Ironworks throughout the period 1779 to 1842, which is when it was operating.
And you do have some information to share with David that might shed some light on his family tree.
Just now, while we're up on this viewpoint, I've got this magnificent poster, which is how the ironworks would have looked in about 1808, just before it went bust. It went bust about 1811. And it shows us really what an incredible industrial site we would have seen over 200 years ago, with the industry in the middle, with all the flames and the chimneys, and the village round about it. So everybody living right on top of industry, which couldn't have been very pleasant for them.
David, I mean, what do you think when you see something like this and try and map it out with what we see, what we're seeing now?
Well, it's very hard to imagine the difference when we're looking at now at the open moorland now compared to the photograph. But having walked this area from my childhood, I can actually remember as a younger boy that there were more ruins here than there are now. I remember some of the arches and some of the original aqueducts that were here. So I can picture it, but it's quite incredible when you look at the poster now to think that it has all gone.
So we're looking now at the page that I've pulled together, which is about John Wilson of the Ironworks and his family tree. He was based down in London for a long time, and that's where they got married. But he seems to have had at least four sons that I can find: John, George, James and William. And those four names keep repeating throughout the generations of the Wilsons.
And David, I know that's something that both of you have had trouble with, the names repeating. Tell me about that.
Yes, yes. We haven't had a great imagination in the Wilson family when it comes to names. In fact, I broke the mould by calling my son Mark, because we've been David and Peter alternately for as long as anybody can remember on my side. In fact, at one time we had 11 Peter Wilsons in the family, all living at the same time, which was really confusing.
So we've seen where your ancestors worked. Now, how do you fancy going down to Clough House and seeing where they lived?
That would be great. I've driven past it numerous times, but it'd be great to have a look inside.
Hi, I'm Catherine Bothell and I live at Clough House. This house, as far as I'm aware, has been maybe on the go since the 1600s. There used to be maids that would stay up, obviously, upstairs.
I think that may be where my connection may have come through, because there's this suggestion that it may have been an illegitimate child, my link. So I'm just wondering, when you were talking about the maids here at the house,
yes,
you know, and I'm just wondering if that's a possibility.
Well, they could have been up here, your ancestors.
No, it could have been. Let's don't let my imagination run away with.
We've visited the Wilson Town Ironworks site, we've visited Clough House where your ancestors lived, we've met Emma, we've met Catherine. What have you made of all you've heard today?
Well, it's been really exciting. I came along today expecting to glean some information about the family. I never expected for a minute that I would end up inside Clough House. As I mentioned earlier, I've driven past it, paused, looked at it many times, but never expected when I came along this afternoon again. And it's been great. The information that Emma's given me already will be useful in progressing my family tree. And I look forward to seeing Emma again in the near future. We can swap information.
Well, that's listener David Wilson. Well, Bruce, have you been able to make any sense of this maze of Davids and Peters? Is there any link with the Wilsons of Wilson Town?
Oh, good news, Bill, good news. I've managed to trace back to a William Wilson, born in 1772, to Robert Wilson of Clough and Anne Dixon. Excuse me. Now, that's maybe one or maybe two generations removed from the Wilson brothers, but it's a definite link. Now, it was difficult to trace, and David noticed this, because there are, in fact, two illegitimacies in the chain. Now, how do you get around these when you research a family? Well, you have to remember that information on parents isn't just in birth records. It's also in marriage and death registers. So I worked from these. I also found wills and burial records, and really important, the Burgess Rolls from Edinburgh.
What's a Burgess Roll?
Right, a Burgess. You had to be a Burgess in order to work and live in the borough. So these are records of, for example, merchants. And we can see how the Wilson and Boole merchant families intermarried in the very early 1700s and when they acquired Clough. What I'll do is I'll parcel up all these documents for David Wilson. He can fill in the gaps with a wee bit more detective work. And of course David knows there's no money because they went bankrupt.
That's right, the whole thing went bust. And what about this idea of the upstairs downstairs maid master relationship? Do you think
yes,
the reason behind these illegitimacies?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's interesting that most of the people in the line that I found weren't working in the ironworks. They were agricultural labourers, and the records, for example, birth records, marriage records, do often say presumed father,
right,
or illegitimate and so on. So there were one or two leaps of faith in there, but certainly with the surname Wilson being so strong and the same names as David's identified coming through in every generation, and then right back to Clough, that's definitely them. So good for you, David, you've got there.
OK, well, Michael, where can you find records for those who worked in the ironwork industry?
Well, it's easy enough to find out about the owners, because there's lots of records of the contracts of co-partnering, all sorts of things. But for those who worked in the industry, it's much more difficult, because there are very few wages records. However, there is a very complete set of records for the company that took over Wilson Town, the Dixons of Dixon's Blazes, just along from where I'm sitting today in Glasgow. And they had the sort of enforced saving for funerals and tools that we discussed earlier. There is also a very important collection of records that are not much used and could well be explored for looking into this sort of history. And that's the huge collection of Carr and Company records that are in the National Archives of Scotland. And they did a lot of subcontracting. So you might well find them buying things from Wilsontown, almost certainly during the French War.
So they're based in Falkirk, just outside Falkirk, aren't they, Karen? But their tentacles, as it were, go right through the ironwork industry.
Well, their tentacles extend, as we all learnt at school. Remember all learning about James Watt and Dr. Roebuck? Well, those tentacles extend throughout the whole of Britain. It is an extraordinary company. And if you own an old house, the fire grate in it, probably almost certainly was made by Carr and Company and sold through its network of warehouses. And transport along the canal system.
Indeed. Well, thanks very much,